The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Veteran Chris Paul continues to chase that elusive championship late into his career. Paul's had an incredibly accomplished career with 10 All-NBA selections. The only other players with 10 or more All-NBA selections without an NBA title are Hall of Famers Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, John Stockton, and Elgin Baylor. Somebody who does have a chip would be Richard Jefferson. He's joining us now. Hello, sir. Good to see you.
Hello.
We'll get to you in just a second. Stephen A., you're up first. What's one word to describe CP3 if he loses this series?
Sad. That's the word that comes to my mind because who's not rooting for CP3? You'd be hard-pressed to find people outside of Milwaukee that are not rooting for him. For 16 years, he's been one of the elite point guards this game has ever seen. This is his first NBA Finals appearance. He's up 2-0 in the finals, and now he's down 3-2. And so if he were to lose this, you're going to look at missed opportunities, no question. You're going to look at the fact that he clearly seemed hobbled, wasn't himself, wasn't 100% healthy. You're going to take all of those things into consideration along with the myriad of times that he's been plagued by injuries in his postseason career. And it's just going to really, really hit hard for a lot of people that were rooting for him. During this finals, he's averaging 21-8 on 54% shooting from the field, 52% shooting from three-point range. But still, that hasn't looked like himself. On too many occasions, shots that you thought he would make, he's missed. Turnovers over a three-game stretch, committed 15 turnovers in three games. You're going to look at all of those things. You're going to wonder how close he came, but ultimately wasn't able to close the deal. And you're just going to recognize there's going to be a finality attached to it, a period, because you're not going to look at the Phoenix Suns with CP3 and say, okay, they'll be back next year. They'll win the championship next year. You're not going to feel that way. You're looking at it as this is his lone shot to capture a championship. And if he doesn't get it, he'll probably end his career devoid of a title.
Well, yeah, look, I'm going to say impressed. And the reason why, I think the true definition of a point guard, we've seen the position evolve. It used to just be a setup man. It used to just be, you know, making sure that everybody's in the offense. But the game has evolved and the point guard position has evolved. But the true test of a point guard is, do you make your team and do you make your teammates better? And I think Chris Paul has embodied that from the moment he picked up a basketball, from the moment he entered the league. And you saw, there's a list of great Hall of Famers that just didn't win a championship, whether you were losing to KD and the Warriors, whether you were losing to Shaq and Kobe. It doesn't matter. Like, you're going to run into great, great teams and great players on a journey to win a championship. But I think that the thing that's most impressive about him is we've seen it in Houston. We've seen it in OKC. We've seen it in Phoenix. The man just understands the game of basketball at a level that is different. He raises his team. He raises players around him. And I think that's the ultimate compliment of any player. And if he wins a championship, that's a cherry on top. But I'm still just going to be impressed with what he's done over the course of his career.
But you'd be impressed anyway, Richard. The question is, if he loses the series, one word to describe him. Stephen A., you came closer. The word is tragic. Tragic, because that incorporates sadness. And this is what tragic really means. A tragedy is a story in which a hero, a heroic figure, I think Chris Paul's a heroic figure. I agree with you, Richard, about that. But is destined for sadness based on some fatal flaw. Stephen A., you've pointed out many times how small players are at a disadvantage. There has almost never been a guy, as I mentioned, under 6'4", who has won a championship as the best player on a team. Even Steph Curry in 2015, it took injuries on the other side for that to happen. You know, it barely ever happens. And Chris Paul's what, 6 feet tall? in the NBA, in a sport that selects out for size, really hard to lead a team as that team's best player, or along with Booker, one of the two best players, to a championship. And so that may be the fatal flaw that leads to sadness for the hero here, that he's destined for it, maybe. And Stephen A., you brought out how that boneheaded play, because that really was a huge blunder, one possession game turns into a two possession game with 15 seconds left because he shoves the other team's superstar while he's in the air, which is a dangerous play, and has no chance to ensure that he doesn't make the basket and puts them on the line down 3 points, which was inevitable they were going to be down 3 points. Maybe that frustration comes from the fact that it's a miracle even that he's one of the 10 to 15 best players in the world year in and year out at 6 feet tall in a land of giants. But if he loses this series as a result, especially after what happened in game five, the word that comes to mind for me would be tragic.
See, Max, the reason why I'm not going with this sad, crazy narrative is I truly believe the Phoenix Suns were only favored in this series because there were questions at the start of the series is because there were questions about Giannis. There were questions about Giannis, his health, would he play, would he not, you know, and I think that's why when they talk about favorite, but I think the Milwaukee Bucks are the more talented team here, right? Like, let's make no mistake. So really and truly, are they ultimately favored in this series, even with the two being down 2-0, the Milwaukee Bucks? Where to start. The reason why I am saying impressed is because no one thought that the Phoenix Suns would be here. No one thought that the Phoenix Suns would accomplish what they accomplished all season long, let alone getting to the postseason, and he was dominant in helping his team get there. No one thought that Oklahoma City would even accomplish anything. What do I think about Chris Paul if he's not able to pull this off? I'm not going with this woe is me tragedy. I'm going to say, look, if I look at Chris Paul right now, I was impressed. You don't have to win a championship to be impressive, to be like to gain people's respect. But what he has done in year and year out, especially in these last few years at the latter part of his career, I look at Chris Paul and I'm impressed. Is that a point guard that I would want on my team? When you're talking about all the great point guards, not just overall, when you're like Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson, you know, great level point guards, and you're like, look, Chris Paul's impressive. At the end of the day, whether his body holds up, he's had some bad luck, but I'm impressed with the way he handles himself year in and year out.
Well, that's us. RJ, you know most of the public is not going to view it that way. You're absolutely right in terms of how you look at it, how I look at it. But when we ask a question like this, we're really talking about what the, you know, because, again, the average viewer doesn't get to just come on national TV and speak and articulate and elocute their thought process. We have to do that for them. And so when we're speaking about what the vast majority of the public is going to look at when they look at CP3. We recognize the fact that the only reason they would consider favors was because of the questionable health of Giannis Antetokounmpo after he had twisted his leg or his knee, messed his knee up, hyperextended his left knee so badly, his right knee, I believe, against Atlanta in the conference finals. We recognize that. But nevertheless, we've seen Phoenix have opportunities in this series. And even though we've seen CP3 put up numbers, I mean, when you're averaging 21 and nearly 9 assists a game on 54% shooting and 52% from three-point range, that's impressive. But obviously more is needed to upend the Milwaukee Bucks. And because of his inability to do more, particularly at key moments in the series, particularly a three-game stretch when he committed 15 turnovers, and we all knew that he was not 100%. He just wasn't healthy. There's no way in hell that CP3 is turning the ball over 15 times in three games. That's just not who he is. Ultimately, those nuances are things that people will recall, but in the end, when we look at him, and which is why the word sad comes to my mind, is that if he were to lose, there's none of us that's going to look at the Phoenix Suns and say, they'll be back next year. Not with the Lakers coming back, not with the Clippers coming back, not, you know, not with what you see out west, not with Milwaukee having won a title, not with Kyrie, KD, and Harden in Brooklyn, not with Philadelphia if they modify some things there or get Ben Simmons. I heard Doc Rivers and the 76ers got a shooting coach for Ben Simmons and stuff like that. We'll see what that materializes into. There's so many good teams. You look at Phoenix and you just say, this might have been their shot. This might have been CP3's shot. And that's where the word sad comes in. You're just going to look at it and say, hey, he might have missed it.
Of course. Yeah, because it was an incredible opportunity, but the COVID, and if his hand is hurt, you know, can't really blame him. All right, RJ, appreciate you. We will talk to you soon.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. One of the most anticipated games of the season is October 3rd when Tom Brady will return to New England for the first time since leaving and signing with the Bucs. Tom shouldn't expect the welcome wagon, according to Patriots defensive tackle Byron Cowart, who was on the team last season. Brady was in Foxborough. Now, while on the Patriots Way of Life podcast, Cowart said, "We ain't welcoming him. We just got to play him. There's not going to be no damn ceremony for him or nothing like that." So, no ceremony for Teflon Tom, who won 6 Super Bowls with the Patriots. That according to Cowart. Before we get into this, Max, you know we're going to be at that game, right?
Of course. Okay. Wouldn't miss it.
And we're like, you're going to be in Patriots' place.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been able to go back to Cape Cod in, like, I don't know, since I made the Cliff prediction. But, you know, other than that, everything's okay.
Oh, you could go back to Cape Cod. Stephen A., I'll start with you. What's your reaction to these comments?
Oh, my Lord. Boy, y'all lucky I'm still, you know, just getting over my illness over the past few days. Who the hell is this? Byron Cowart? Is that what his name is? I mean, I looked him up, played at Maryland? That's what it is. He's a defensive lineman. Yeah, fifth round pick, if I remember correctly. Right? Am I right about that, Molly? I think. Let me try to look this up here. I think I'm right about it. I mean, in the fifth round, the 159th overall pick, playing in New England. Oh, by the way, you arrived after the 18 previous years Tom Brady was there, in which he went to 9 Super Bowls, won 6 of them, division crowns, 15, 16 of them? If not more, I might be off. Who the hell is Byron Cowart thinking? Did you consult with Robert Kraft, the owner? I think that he's going to make that call, and I think that he's going to make sure that Tom Brady, some big montage, something's going to be shown showing their level of appreciation for the greatness that man displayed for 19 years in the New England Patriots uniform. Do you understand, Byron Cowart, that the only reason the New England Patriots matter is because of Tom Brady? Do you understand that? It ain't because of Steve Grogan. It ain't because of anybody like that, okay? It's because of Tom Brady. Damn straight because of Drew Bledsoe. Now, Bill Belichick might have something to do with that. But the nerve, the unmitigated gall, I mean, what the hell is wrong with you to sit up there and utter such blasphemy out of your mouth? Who do you think you are? Now, you might step on the field and the one sack that you have in your career, okay, over the course of 14 games and 29 tackles, okay, you might sack Tom Brady. You might get a tackle or two. We get all of that. But You don't sound disrespectful like that about Tom Brady. And speaking for the team, no, you ain't qualified to do that. Robert Kraft's gonna make sure of that decision. And oh, by the way, Byron Coward, when you go out in the streets of Foxborough, Massachusetts, or anywhere in Massachusetts, especially Boston or whatever, why don't you say that to them and watch what kind of reaction you get from them, that we ain't welcoming Tom Brady. Tom Brady will always be welcomed in Foxborough. You, my friend, in light of what you said, you're the one that might not be welcomed.
Coward's like, so what if he went to 9? What about the other 9 years he was there? It's not like he did it last year on a torn MCL or, oh, he did?
Oh, yeah, he did.
I love the attitude, Stephen A. I'm not going to lie. I love the attitude in that player because the player's like, I don't care who it is. We're playing against them. I'm just trying to beat them. But you do not say that out loud in the press. That's a rookie mistake or a second-year mistake or whatever. You don't say that in the press. You know what's even worse than Tom Brady? Tom Brady with bulletin board material. What are you doing? You don't say it out loud.
But
I do appreciate the attitude. Now, some coach, if Belichick's in the mood, someone's got to put their arm around this kid and be like, that's right. That's the right point of view. Don't ever say that again out loud. Ever. Think it. Don't say that in the press.
Listen, man. There's certain things you just don't say, you know, about certain people. Like Tom Brady. Tom Brady might pick on him the whole game. Tom Brady might. Remember, now listen, did we not just see Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, who is phenomenal? He's great. Did we not just see Tom Brady pick on him in the Super Bowl because he was talking smack to Tom Brady? Now, imagine what could happen to this guy right here.
Howard's got to go out and get 3 sacks now.
The only thing I could compare it to, Max, was years ago. I could say it now, but I wouldn't do it to him for years because I loved him so much. But I remember when Dikembe Mutombo was playing for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he literally was arguing with me one day. Kareem. I said, don't you ever say that in public. Don't you ever utter those words in public. I said, I won't quote you. Don't you ever mention your hook as the sky hook, as the same as the sky hook. Don't you ever mention yourself in the same breath as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Have you lost your mind? And I wouldn't write it because I got so much love for Dikembe Mutombo. I wouldn't quote him. He's retired now. It's been a long time. But I wouldn't quote him for that. But I'm like, how dare you? The blasphemy. These are the kind of things I'm talking about.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Suns jumped out to a 2-0 lead over the Bucks. Teams holding a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals are 31-4 all time. But the Bucks, they rallied to even the series, highlighted by an iconic defensive play from Giannis blocking DeAndre Ayton's alley-oop attempt down the stretch in their Game 4 victory. And Milwaukee came back from a 16-point deficit to win Game 5. Milwaukee became the fourth team in Finals history to go down 2-0 and win the next three games and the first since the 2006 Miami Heat. Stephen A., is this series more about the Suns' collapse or the Bucks' revival?
Well, for me, it's about the Suns. I'll leave the Bucks to Max. For me, it's about the Suns from the standpoint that you're up 2-0. We've been talking about CP3 and what he could bring to the table, and then we saw the 15 turnovers in a three-game span where his health became a question mark. We saw Devin Booker wet the bed of Milwaukee in Game 3 before he came back and dropped 40-plus in Game 4, and then obviously Game 5. We saw a guy like Cameron Johnson who can hit shots, but your two stars are not finding him and not getting him the basketball. And we saw all of this with DeAndre Ayton, who was relatively dominant throughout the postseason. And then in this series right here, he's had great moments and not so great moments. And he's been relatively inconsistent. And when you combine that with Dario Saric going down and him having nothing other than Frank Kaminsky to back him up, you know, he's been a bit compromised, to say the least. Those are the elements that I take into consideration, because I think if it were not for that, at the very least, Phoenix would be up right now 3-2 in this series. That's where I'm at with it.
I got to credit the Bucks. I mean, in a situation like this, it's always did one team collapse, did the other team come back? So it's got to be a little of both. The other team has to give you the opportunity. But I got to say it's the Bucks, Stephen A. And by the way, a point that you made earlier plays into this. It's not just that the Bucks have been making plays to win games. They've been sealing the games with those plays. It's not like they needed those plays in order in that moment to score the point they needed, the points they needed to take the lead. By and large, it preserved leads that they'd worked to earn. But then they have iced the game with some of the most iconic plays now in the history of basketball, right? These are some of the most memorable plays of all time in the finals. The block by Giannis, again, think about the players involved. Stephen A., this is a point you sometimes make. We'll talk about posterizing dunks and which one is best, and you will frequently point out, look who it was on. Well, look who it was on to seal the deal right there, right? It's on Devin Booker, who was white hot, stops the penetration from Booker, and then recovers and goes from, the top of the key all the way back to, and Ayton was skying for the dunk, for the alley-oop, and blocks it, right? Like that, think of the two players he just did that on. Never mind the amount of skill, difficulty, athletic ability, size, everything, awareness that it took in that moment. And then in the very next game, the steal by Jrue Holiday and the alley-oop to Giannis, like they have been doing things. And even as you pointed out earlier, Chris Paul, tremendous blunder, because it would have been a one possession game. They had 15 seconds. Who knows? But it's not like he did that and coughed up the lead doing it. The Bucks were up in the game. And even the alley-oop, where some people say, oh, they needed to slow it down and go. No, fortune favors the bold, right? You go for it. You think you could score, you go for it. And they did. And it was with the foul. Like, the Bucks have been playing fearless, not scared to lose, playing to win kind of basketball. And I have to credit them for these comebacks.
Well, I'm not trying to take any credit away from them. What I'm trying to say, Max, is that they're not doing anything that we didn't expect them to do if Giannis were healthy. The reason why we had so many question marks about Milwaukee coming into this series was because Giannis's injury was so nasty looking. You got to remember, we walked into the NBA Finals wondering whether or not Giannis would be available for Game 3. Remember that, Max. You know, I'm in Phoenix for Game 1 doing SportsCenter with Stephen A. and Mike Wilbon and I are on the set. And it was at that moment that we found out that Giannis was cleared to play Game 1. We were actually stunned.
Right.
We didn't think he would be available before Game 3. If
isn't that to his credit? That's to the Bucks' credit.
No. I'm not taking any credit away. I'm just simply saying that we were speculating that he would not be available. So the real question about the series was, okay, now we're going to see what Middleton and Holiday are capable of without Giannis to lean on the basketball court with them. That's what we were looking at. That's how we were viewing the series. When I look at Phoenix and I look at them being undermanned, smaller, obviously devoid of the level of athleticism that Milwaukee has at its disposal, along with those big bodies, it's like, you know, you climbing an uphill battle. And still, there were opportunities for them to win games 4 and 5. And if they had won games 4 and 5, this series would actually be over
I disagree.
In five games if it weren't for two or three plays.
I disagree with the basic, and Richard Jefferson brought this up earlier, this idea that Milwaukee's more talented. I think Phoenix is more talented. You pointed out Milwaukee's bigger. Milwaukee's a better
combination. I said more athletic.
Yeah, more athletic, especially
right.
at the
That's
size.
What I said.
But I think the Phoenix Suns are the more talented team, even without Saric. I think they, when the Phoenix Suns are playing well, the points come easy. Everyone touches the ball. They shoot it very well. Like, they do a lot of really good things. The Bucks, don't forget what you're talking about with Giannis, not only playing through injury, basically hyperextended knee. It looked like he could be out for the rest of this the playoffs. Then he comes back and he's there for game one. That's to his credit. That has to do with toughness and wanting it and all that stuff and a little luck, sure. But the whole thing about Middleton and Holiday that you bring up, you know, like, could they step up? I've been talking about when you're a great big, as Giannis is, you need dudes on your level to win. Now, are Holiday and Middleton on his level? No, not quite, not usually. However, because the Nets were hurt, they actually got by the Nets. Lucky to do it. I mean, KD had a shot to win game seven. He didn't have any help. But still, they got lucky, but they took advantage of it. The Suns come out of the West instead of the Lakers or the Clippers. Also lucky that there were injuries and stuff. Nevertheless, given the situation as it is now, Middleton and Holiday have stepped up, no doubt about it. But they've done so, they've been able to do so because Giannis is always there. Giannis doesn't have any bad games. His worst game is great. It's been since game two against the Nets, he's been like Shaq. He's been a Superman. So was he that way throughout the whole playoffs when he faced Toronto? No, he had to learn from those experiences. They brought in Holiday. Did Holiday have to have this kind of series? No. He clamped down the defense on Chris Paul. Middleton, has he had to show up the way he has in the fourth quarter, score 10 straight points, whatever it is? No, these guys are writing the script now. They're coming through now in the biggest kind of way.
No, when you look at it, first of all, Giannis has been pretty consistent throughout these playoffs. When he's been on the basketball court, he's been dominant in every fashion outside of hitting perimeter shots and free throws. That's been his issue. But in every other way, he's been dominant throughout the playoffs from the time it started. That's number one. Number two, when we looked at Milwaukee, if you remember, we were questioning Budenholzer because at times in game one in particular, when CP3 dropped about 31 or 32 points, you saw Bobby Portis on them, you saw Brook Lopez on them, you saw P.J. Tucker on them. It wasn't until the adjustment was made where Drew Holiday picked him up where we saw a change, okay? And obviously he was also compromised health-wise. And so we were looking at Budenholzer. We weren't necessarily looking at the players in terms of defense. Offensively, we were wondering what Middleton and Holiday, could they get a game where they both gave it to you together like they did in game five, because it's usually one or the other joining Giannis. In the end, though, I still think that they're playing downhill when Giannis is on the court and healthy. They're playing downhill. It's the Phoenix Suns with an uphill battle. And you know, sans two or three plays, Phoenix Suns could have won this series already in five. That's how close they were. And that's why I say I look at them and I think about the collapse that has taken place with them. It's not to take anything away from the Bucks because they have been resilient. But what's really conspicuous to me is looking at the Phoenix Suns and being so close, knowing that, it's right there, but they couldn't close.
Yeah. All right. Stephen A. says it's over. Max says not yet. Bucks are favored by 5 in game 6.
I hope he's right. I hope Max's right.
I know. You want a game 7.
Wait
till you hear Stephen A. Smith.
Man needs sleep, Molly. What's he hoping for a game 7 for? He needs to sleep, rest like a month.
He loves the NBA, right? What's better than a game 7 in the finals?
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Matthew Stafford is the new man in L.A. after the Rams acquired him in a trade for Jared Goff, but that doesn't bother 49er safety Jimmy Ward, who told SI.com he's the same quarterback who was on the Detroit Lions, and they didn't go to the playoffs. They had Megatron, Calvin Johnson. What was the problem over there in Detroit? They went and traded Jared Goff, who went to the playoffs several times and went to the Super Bowl. I've yet to see that with Matt Stafford, and I'm saying he's still great. I believe he's a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 5. I don't know. We'll see. Stephen A.,
Will Stafford ever win a Super Bowl with the Rams?
I think it's possible. Mad respect to Jimmy Ward. That brother can play. I like his attitude. He's qualified to say what he said, no doubt. But I'm not going to rule it out. And I'll tell you this right now. When you look at the Rams offense, which was the 22nd ranked offense last year, we understand that Jared Goff, even though he completed 67% of his passes, threw for 20 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, we understand his relationship with Sean McVay at Soward. It wasn't the same, and his level of production had tailed off. We look at Matthew Stafford, even though he was in Detroit all of these years, never even won a playoff game. It's hard to blame him. You consider what he brings to the table, particularly in game-winning situations, albeit in the regular season. Here's what I'm going to tell you about the Rams. Robert Woods is no scrub. Cooper Kupp is no scrub. Josh Reynolds is no scrub. I think, if I remember correctly, I believe they acquired DeSean Jackson in the offseason. Now, we know he's perpetually injured or what have you, as he had been for the Philadelphia Eagles over the last 2 years. But when the brother is healthy, make no mistake about it, he is electrifying as a deep threat as there is in the National Football League, still damn near approaching his mid-30s. DeSean Jackson is a huge plus. I don't summarily dismiss that. But the biggest thing about them is, unlike when you were in Detroit, here in Los Angeles, where I'm still at this particular moment in time, bottom line is, do we remember who the hell this defense was led by Aaron Donald? Do we remember who the hell these dudes are? Number one in points allowed. Number one in yards allowed. Number one in passing yards allowed. Number three in rushing yards allowed. This is arguably the elite defense in the entire National Football League. And when I look at it from that perspective, I got news for you. I got to sit up there and say, this defense is going to give Matthew Stafford his greatest opportunity ever to capitalize on whatever level of greatness people were willing to say he possessed. And in light of that reality, I'm going to say they got a damn chance. I can't summarily dismiss the notion that the Los Angeles Rams can end up going to the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford as their quarterback, because it's really about their defense.
Nor can I. I can't dismiss it. It's possible. But if the question is, will they? I can't assume that they will. Like, that's something that if you do it, that's a great accomplishment. But I can't just assume Super Bowl. Now, in a way, it's kind of like we were talking about Damian Lillard earlier. It's like, you know, all the fourth quarter comebacks Stafford has had, all the talent that's been obvious the whole time. It's a big legacy here for him, right? Has it been the whole time really just he was in Detroit? Or is there something about him? He can't get it done when it counts most. Well, we're going to find out, because the Rams will be right in the middle of things. You know, they've been to the Super Bowl not long ago. As you mentioned, they got a real defense. They got a ton of offensive weapons. They have a real offensive mind in the head coach. And if you get to one with Jared Goff, there's a reason you traded, and you mentioned Stephen A. Well, they really wanted to get Goff out of there. But you trade Goff and two firsts and a third, however you slice it, contracts, who you like, don't like, you think Stafford's better than Goff. The head coach who thinks Stafford is significantly better than Goff. So can they win a Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Will they? I'm not going to predict that they will. They're going to have to go show me.
Yeah, tough division. Go ahead, Stephen A. Yeah.
No. I get where he's coming from. I mean, my point is that they got a chance. They got a chance. No question.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Let's go back to the NBA. Once up 2-0 in the series, the Suns have now lost three straight and are on the brink of losing the finals. Max, who on the Suns has to step up to force a game seven?
The answer is Chris Paul. We don't need to make this more complicated than it is. Chris Paul, as I said, is the head of the snake. But I do want to mention something, Stephen A. Chris Paul, the story, the narrative, the whole legacy on the line. How will he be a champion, yes or no? His fate is in his own hands, as it has been the last couple of games, and he hasn't played well, as it was in the conference finals when he played amazingly well in game six to lead them to his only finals appearance. But I got to mention something that Tom Haberstroh just tweeted out, Stephen A., because it bears repeating. Devin Booker, fourth quarter NBA finals. He has taken 24 field goal attempts. He has 24 field goal attempts. How many assists does he have in the fourth quarter of these NBA finals?
Zero.
Look, Devin Booker, in the best possible way, you and I have compared him to Kobe Bryant. But in a way that's not so great, you can compare him that way also in these finals so far. When it matters most, He is so laser focused on scoring that he becomes predictable, which is one of the reasons why he was stripped by Drew Holiday. Not just so Chris Paul is the pivotal player, but the real reason if you like the Suns, you like them, is those crime partners in the backcourt. Maybe the best one in basketball, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. They got to raise their games.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Monty Williams has to elevate his. He's got to get in the ear of CP3 and Devin Booker and say, you know something? I got this kid over there with that wild afro. His name is Cameron Jordan. His name is Cameron Johnson, I'm sorry. This dude is averaging 24 minutes a game. Just got 21 in game 5. Maxie's only averaging 9 points a game, 9.6 points a game. He is shooting 53% from the field and 47% from three-point range. How are you not finding this man the basketball? How are you looking him off and just jacking up shots? He has shown no hesitancy, no shyness, no timidity, no apprehension, no nervousness whatsoever about gunning the basketball when you give it to him with enough space for him to launch his shot. Get him the damn ball. It's because if you're CP3 and you're Booker, you gotta know by now. You can't do it by yourself. You need help. You need help. And that kid right there, they gotta get him the basketball. Max, I'm looking at him right now. Max, take a guess. How many shots Cameron Johnson has launched in this 5-game series? Take a guess.
Overall, the entire series?
Overall, the entire series.
So what are we? We've played 5 games, right?
5 games.
25 shots?
30.
30 shots, yeah. He has not touched the ball. He has not touched the ball a lot.
You got to get him the ball. Yep. You have to get him the basketball. There is no excuse why you can't get in the ball. How many times did you see him open Saturday night, Max? I saw him open. I saw him open a whole bunch of times.
I agree.
And oh, by the way, he only attempted 3 shots and made 2 of them, and 2 of them were 3.
Yeah, what'd I say, 25? No. He should have taken at least 50 shots by now.
He's at least 30. 50.
Right.
At least 50.
And he's taken 30. Right.
And he's taken 30. That's 6 shots a game. That is unacceptable.
Steve, that's unacceptable. The guy with the ball in his hands, and they're both kind of combo guards, even though Chris Paul's really a point guard and Devin Booker a 2-guard, but the guy, and I mentioned how Booker has no assist in the fourth quarter. Chris Paul's the guy making the decisions. He's the guy with the ball in his hands. This, you could talk Monty Williams, you could talk Devin Booker. To me, it comes down to CP3. Stephen A.,
I'm going to say Booker too, Max.
He draws so much attention.
It would be easier for him to get Cam Johnson.
You're right. You talk about looking him up. Right. No doubt. But I'm thinking about Michael Jordan. One of his most famous plays was with the finals on the line.
Steve Kerr passed it.
Not to Scottie Pippen, not to some other superstar, to Paxson, because he could shoot and he was open. Find the open man. Especially if he can shoot.
They got to get this kid the ball. Molly, Max, they have got to get Cam Johnson the basketball.
No, you've been saying it all along.
He will make shots.
Yep, you've been saying it all along. Speaking of someone that's been making shots, it was just last December that Giannis decided to sign that max extension and stay in a small market on the Bucks. Now he's one game away from being an NBA champion. Stephen A., if the Bucks pull this off and win this, what's the headline going to read about Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Giannis Antetokounmpo saved the NBA. That's what it's going to be for me. He didn't go to a big market. He stayed in a smaller market. He didn't attract superstars to dramatically shift the balance of power in the process. He just worked with what he had. Yeah, there was some luck that came in the picture, a la Kyrie Irving twisting his ankle, falling on somebody's foot, and severely twisting his ankle that kept him out of the rest of the series against Milwaukee, or Kevin Durant. Feet being too big because his foot was on the three-point line when he hit that shot to send it into overtime instead of a shot that would have won the game for them. All of that's true. But let me tell you something. Giannis Antetokounmpo, with what he has done, the way he has played, the way he has led, the way he has galvanized this team, the way he has uplifted and brought this small market that is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to the forefront of the basketball universe, I can't say enough about him right there. And as a result, you know what? You see a lot of teams, a lot of players, star players in smaller markets, not necessarily in the bigger markets. You can be attractive enough to get dudes who can really play. They may not be superstars, but they can really, really play, to want to come and play with you, and you can win a championship. That's what Giannis is doing means to basketball. It's almost, it may be the best thing that could have happened to NBA basketball in quite a long time.
I totally agree with that, and he played through the hyperextended leg that could have sidelined him, that's it, indefinitely. Like, he could have been out for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And in a season where all these superstars suffered injuries that they couldn't come back from, you know, that 60 pounds of muscle you mentioned earlier, that probably has something to do. He put in all that work. But I'm sorry, I have to be honest, and I hate to be this dude. I know the man in the arena, I'm just being the critic, and I don't want to rain on everyone's parade. Both the Suns and the Bucks are extremely lucky to be in these finals. And they are only in these finals because, and only because, the Nets and the Lakers and the Clippers suffered catastrophic injury to their best players. That's why. Without that, neither one of these teams sniffs the finals. In fact, neither one of these teams makes the conference finals. That said, if Giannis wins the whole thing, having played through the injury, having not had one bad game, basically showing up like Shaq every day, the headlines will be that he has reached all-time greatness. Mm. He's a future Hall of Famer, and he is a champion.
My only retort to that, Max, would be that would be your headline. When we're talking about the headline, what will the people be talking about? The headline's not going to be that he's lucky.
That's right.
The headline's going to be that he's Giannis.
That he has arrived.
He has arrived.
Max, who you got tomorrow, game six?
I think the Suns eke it out. I think we're heading to game seven.
Okay.
I pray that Max Kellerman is right, Molly, but I said it Friday, and I said it again. Milwaukee's not losing game six. Not with that crazy crowd. I was there last week. I've seen that crowd. It's hard to imagine Phoenix going into Milwaukee tomorrow night.
I have to admit.
And winning. And I hope that Max is right, because I love game sevens.
I have to admit, Stephen A.
I just believe that Milwaukee's going to win the title tomorrow night.
I have to admit, a lot of it is I'm rooting for Chris Paul not to go out like that. I want a redemption game from Chris Paul game six.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Just can't see it.
All right. That'll do it for us here on First Take. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a fabulous day. Thanks for being with us.
All right, y'all.